It's Current State on WKAR.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice.
It's important to have a plan and moving forward for the next 12 months. And it starts with, maintaining and building on the culture and the type of program that we want to have here about excellence. And I know I like Mark's comment that he has on his thing, energy and excite, and that's what MSU hockey should be.
Second period.
That's the voice of Danton Cole, newly named head coach of Spartan men's ice hockey. He comes to MSU from the Team USA development staff. He's a past national championship winner at MSU and a Stanley Cup champ. Cole was named for the position at a press conference earlier this week. WKAR's Al Martin was there. Here's Al from WKAR's Current Sports.
You know, it was remarkable walking into that press conference. First off, I was shocked at how many media members were there to cover it. First off, I mean, actually, it was the press conference was nationally live streamed due to the Big Ten Network being there. I mean, this was huge, huge. And a few things that stood out about this hire for me. Number one is, when I heard Danton Cole speak, you can tell this dude is very intense. This guy is a hockey coach through and through. You know, there were a few notable quotes from that press conference where, you know, I walked away saying, okay, this dude is one who knows where he wants this program to be, and he wants this program to be, as one of the staples, a tough, tough team. I loved it. I loved it. You know, and what you just heard was his four-step plan to making MSU hockey what it used to be. It's got a rich tradition. I mean, we talk about Ron Mason a lot when we mention Michigan State hockey because those were the glory years, right? When Ron Mason was in charge of this program, when Ron Mason was the head coach of this program, that is when Michigan State hockey was at its height. It was a time when, you know, you look at the entire landscape and specifically the two biggest sports in collegiate athletics today, in college football and college basketball. It was during a time when Ron Mason really had his immense success with the program. Michigan State basketball and football was on the struggle bus. Couldn't win games. Rare to see MSU football in a bowl game at the time. Recruiting wasn't very high. And Tom Izzo hadn't yet taken over the Michigan State men's basketball program. And Cole, you know, made it known that, you know, when he took that podium yesterday, that he wants to get this program back to that standpoint. And he went on to say that he wants this team to be tough. Tough. And he wants the atmosphere at Mount Ice Arena to get back to a point where back in the day you had, it was a hot ticket. It was a hot ticket to go see Michigan State hockey. The hottest ticket in the area, in fact, at one point, if you can imagine that. He wants Munn to rock again. And the only way you're going to do that is one, by winning, of course, and also getting in the community and letting your program, letting the players be the face of the program and get their faces out there, promotional-wise. But I always say, if you build it, they will come. If Michigan State hockey wins, the fans are going to come. And you look at the makeup of this team, I found probably what is the most intriguing attribute to this hire is the fact that Danton Cole spent the last 7 years in USA Hockey's National Team Development Program coaching its under-17 and under-18 teams. He developed some of the best young prospects in the country on the ice. And just imagine the kind of connects that Danton Cole now has that he can hit up from USA Hockey and say, who is the next up-and-coming star? And it's so amazing because if you evaluate the landscape of hockey here in America, especially collegiate hockey, right? I mean, kids are committing so early. It amazes me. It boggles my mind when I think about that. Kids commit at around 13, 14 years old as to what college they want to go to. And the problem with Tom and Nash is not, you know, I thought that Tom did a solid job, an okay job, solid to okay job. I don't even know if that makes even any sense. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, Tom did a solid job of getting recruits who were really young. The problem was, and it's the thing, this is what I hate about recruiting sometimes. If you decide to recruit a player who is that young, who's 13, 14 years old, that kid is still growing. His game is still growing. It is so hard to assume that this kid is going to be a superstar as he continues to develop on the ice. They're so young. They're still developing as athletes. They're still developing as young men. There is so much development that is still taking place at that young age. Sure, you may be good at 14, but will that continue to happen throughout the years? And the thing is, I mean, Tom would get some of those young recruits. The problem is, I mean, they would come to Michigan State and just not pan out. They just wouldn't pan out. And that's tough. But now you have a man in Danton Cole who knows the recruiting system so well because he got a chance to coach young talent, again, for 7 years with the USA Hockey National Development Program, coaching the under 17 and under 18 teams. He knows the recruiting landscape so well, and Danton Cole did not bite his tongue when it comes to putting it out there that he wants to compete against some of collegiate hockey's elite in the recruiting war. He talked Tuesday about teams like Boston University, Boston College, North Dakota, Notre Dame. He wants to go head up with those teams, saying, quote, "These are the teams we are battling for," end quote, for talent. I love that. And again, take it with a grain of salt, though, because this is a guy who's coming into a program. He knows where this program has been since 2011 when Tom Onassis was hired. He has to come out and give the fan base hope. He has to come out and say the right things in the introductory press conference. Sure, you take that with a grain of salt, but looking at Danton Cole, when he's making these comments, Danton Cole is the right man for the job. He was in the running back in 2011. He called Michigan State, and he was not shy about saying this. He called Michigan State countless times his, quote, dream job. Well, Danton, you got it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with it. One hockey game.
WKA, our current sports host, Al Martin, talking about new Spartan men's ice hockey head coach, Danton Cole.
Empty net. Here's Cole right in a shot. He scores! Danton Cole, his second goal of the night. And that wraps it up. It makes it 4-1.
Now the final flick of the hockey stick and the one gigantic scream. The puck is in the Canadians.
This is Current State on WKAR. The recent flooding in our region hasn't been the best for Lansing's Potter Park Zoo, as they've been forced to close for some days this past week. But the mighty moose is a creature that welcomes water, as you might be able to see at one of the Potter Park Zoo's most newly completed exhibits. The moose habitat has transformed a once quiet corner of the park into a facsimile of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I got the chance to meet up with Potter Park Zoo's education curator, Dennis Laidler, for a lay of the land.
We're one of only nine zoos, accredited zoos in the United States, that have moose on exhibit. And
where are some of the others?
Well, the two closest are the Columbus Zoo in Ohio and a zoo called the Northeast Wisconsin Zoo, or the New Zoo, in Green Bay. So it's about a full day's drive in any direction to go to another zoo that has moose. And they need space. They need a major water feature. And so... when we were researching the things and whether we were deciding what and whether we'd even have moose, you know, you look at, do we have the right area? And it turns out this end of the zoo, because it's in the floodplain of the Red Cedar, already had a pond. It had a lot of mature vegetation. It had all the elements that were needed for the kind of space that we wanted to have.
What was the area before?
It was extra space, and then it was a waterfowl pond. And waterfowl pond is sort of a stretch. We just had two swans, disabled swans there. There were a lot of ducks and geese, but they were wild mallards and wild Canada geese that would just happen to use the pond. There are challenges. You know, first of all was working with state and federal agencies to bring in a member of the deer family, making sure there were moose available from a legitimate source. It's very, very rare for an accredited zoo to get an animal from the wild. For the last several decades, 98% or more of all of our animals at accredited zoos and aquariums come from other accredited zoos and aquariums. But remember, at the time, there were only 8 institutions that had moose, and only a couple of them were breeding and breeding successfully. And the best at doing that was the Minnesota Zoo, and we were working with them. But their prime producer of moose calves had a difficult pregnancy. She didn't survive, and neither did the calf. And so they were set back in their breeding program for a few years. And so we talked to the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the state veterinarian, Michigan Department of Agriculture. And the big concern was chronic wasting disease, which unfortunately they showed up in Michigan regardless of their efforts. And sometimes you just can't control. But so they said, well, if it comes from, if we work with a state agency, state wildlife agency, based on our best information, there's 2 states that we would approve a moose coming from the wild, and that would be Idaho or Alaska. And Alaska has, unfortunately, because they have so many moose, they have moose car accidents, which if we think deer car accidents here in Michigan are bad, it's a lot worse.
They're twice as bad.
Yeah, or more. Yeah, and so unfortunately, they always have a few orphaned moose calves each year from moose car accidents. And they had a program where they worked with the Alaska Zoo to house them and try to find a home for them. So I'm telling you this in a few minutes, but this took months of meetings and working out with all the potential partners.
Are you in competition with other zoos in some way?
No. In fact, it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. There are many benefits of being accredited zoo. We could do a whole show on what accreditation means and why it's important. I'd be happy to do that sometime.
Let's do that.
To give you an idea, there are a little over 2,500 licensed USDA public animal entities in the United States, and about 230 or so are accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And so it's more than just, do you take good care of the animals? There's a lot of other things. But one of the strengths of that is that we all share resources. Like I said, not only did we talk to the other 8 zoos that have moose, they shared all their best practices, all the things that they had happened that didn't work out well. They shared sort of videos. Our keepers talked to their keepers. So we weren't starting from scratch. We had the best available information from the most successful zoos at doing moose husbandry. So that makes a big difference. And so we were able to, and then of course is how do you get the moose here? Once, you know, assuming that we get the moose exhibit and all those things happen.
So looking at the photos over here that give you some idea of how moose get around.
Yeah, that was a different program.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, a really cool program to help jumpstart our recovering moose population in the UP.
Right. Looking at the moose lift by helicopter here,
yeah.
And the moose on the sling.
But they didn't do that with the calves.
Right.
And I see the keepers out there, which means that the moose aren't out, so they're walking the perimeter of the exhibit.
Where might they be now?
They'll be in the barn or in there. They also have off-exhibit holding. So that's the nice thing about having a big space. We have not only a large exhibit. Next to the barn, there is another enclosure that allows us, one, to do things like walk the perimeter, fence, check for things. We do that very frequently.
This has got to be one of the largest areas in the zoo.
It is, by far. It's over 4 acres, and none of our other exhibits are close to that.
Can you describe what we're seeing right now?
Yeah. What we have here at the public viewing, and that was very important in designing this exhibit, that we have what we call unobstructed viewing, that you're not looking through a fence to see the animals. Now, when you have an animal that can clear an 8-foot fence and stands 6.5 feet at the shoulder, there's some challenges involved with that. So basically, it involves having the viewing area without any barriers, you know, at eye height. And the way you do that is it had to be excavated to a certain depth so that when the moose are up close, they're in the water. We added this waterfall, not only just for aesthetics, but it also helps oxygenate the water and reduce algae growth. So most of these things have multiple functions. You know, one of the challenges when we first surveyed the area is moose being ruminants, you know, have a complicated digestive system. In the wild, they eat a lot of different types of vegetation, woody vegetation throughout the year, and in the summer, a lot of aquatic vegetation. But this is an urban area, so we have a lot of purposely introduced and accidentally introduced invasive species. And so we're very fortunate to have a strong relationship with multiple departments at Michigan State. Dr. Peter Carrington is a world-renowned toxic plant expert, and he helped us by doing surveys here. And we had to remove about 70% of the woody vegetation because it turned out to be a potential problem for the moose.
Education curator at the Potter Park Zoo, Dennis Laidler. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
For Current State, this is Peter Ward. That's Current State for this week, produced here at MSU's College of Communication Arts and Sciences. Current State is produced by Brooke Allen, Katie Cook, Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Scott Pohl, and Carell Vega. Our news director is Reginald Hardwick. WKAR's director of broadcasting is Susie Elkins. I'm your host and producer, Peter Wharf. And Current State is a production of Michigan State University Radio.